All the people said,
amen.
Amen. Thank you. That was lovely. Thank you. Doesn't he play beautifully? Thank you, brother. Terrific. My wife just said this afternoon, what a lovely penis. And I don't know if she was talking about him playing or the penis. But anyway, she'll maybe explain that one to me tonight anyway. But he plays well. And he is a lovely penis. Let's pray. Father, we come to you in the precious and almighty name of the Lord Jesus. We thank you for your grace and for your mercy. And, O Lord, speak to our hearts tonight, that eternity might be in view, that eternal values might be important. And, O God, that we may feel your power, for we ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our wonderful Savior. Amen and amen. Well, it's great to be back with you again and to share it. To us, it's like coming home. So many of you are like family to us and have treated us very, very well and very sweet in our visits, and you're very precious in our thoughts. And although there's been a period of years, we've many times thought about you. So it's good to be back tonight. And I want to turn with you to 1 Corinthians and just simply take the gospel. So glad to see so many young folks where you're finding the passage in the Bible here tonight. And you might be a teenager and you know you're going through all the pressures of the teenager. Believe it or not, we're very sympathetic for you. Your problems and your pressures are sometimes greater than some of us have to face. We understand that. But as a godless 18-year-old, a student of rock and roll dance, and the band leader stopped the music while a courageous evangelist told us that Jesus saves. What a difference it's made in my life. From 18 till now, oh, there's been times I've done low flying, but hallelujah, I've never landed yet. But it's been low. I've been almost touching the ground, but thank God, he takes you back up again, doesn't he? And when you go up again, you go up with the strength of the Lord, because your trust is in his ability to make you fly for him. That's a wonderful thing. So if you're here tonight, I beg of you, my young friend, just give me this few minutes, this Sunday evening, to share with you something that I'm not filling in an hour with, but something that fills my day and my life. Someone I fell in love with, a wonderful Savior. And he gave me a wonderful wife too. And 2 weeks ago today, we were 40 years married. Will you pray for Margaret? I know many of you do. Thank you. She's a sweetheart. And by this time, I'm sure you found where Corinthians are. Okay. But I just wanted to let our young friends know that you don't have to be old. It might be an old-time religion, but it's not for old folk. It's for all folk, isn't it? All. For everyone, young and old. And you'll have found it. And Paul writes in verse 17, "For Christ sent me, did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not in the cleverness of speech." We've got a lot of clever people around today. Fast talkers. Great spin. Paul says, "I didn't come to spin the message. I came to tell you the truth." And he says this, that the cross of Christ should not be made void as by the cleverness of men, but by preaching it in clarity, it might be understood. And then he goes on and he says in verse 18, "For the word of the cross is to those who are perishing foolishness, but unto us that are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the cleverness of the clever I will set aside." Where is the wise man? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has God not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not come to know God, God was well pleased through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. Then he goes on, for indeed the Jews ask for a sign and the Greeks search for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Gentiles foolishness. But to those who are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Amen. I'm sure God will bless to us the reading of his own precious and wonderful word this evening. I think of two stories I heard. Well, one was an encounter, and the other one was sent to me from the afar. And the story was about an old lady who was going down the highway, and she was caught for speeding. And the policeman came up, and he said to her, excuse me, madam, can I see your license? She said, I lost it 4 years ago for drunk driving. Rather perturbed, the officer said, well, can I see your ownership slip of your car? She said, it's not my car. She said, I stole it. And I murdered the owner, and he's in plastic bags in the trunk. By this time, the policeman was rather anxious, and the anxiety was all over him. And he left the car rather quickly, and the next thing she knew, there were about 5 police cars surrounding her. And the chief of police came to her and said, madam, our officer is rather concerned. You lost your license for drunk driving. She said, no, here it is. She gave it to her. It's not your car. She said, yes, it's my ownership. You murdered the owner. No, she says, don't look in the trunk. It's all clear. Well, our officer's very perturbed. Aye, she says, and I bet the liar told you I was speeding as well. What is truth? What is truth? Hey, we had a comedian in Scotland who used to say, it's the way you tell it. The way you tell it, isn't it? We were preaching up in Calgary just earlier in the year. We'd been in Montana among the cowboys preaching the gospel, and then moved over into Calgary into the Prairies. And there I was crossing wanting to go in to see Calgary, and when I got to the tram station, I discovered that you needed exact change. And I didn't have it. And so I had to go back across, and I said, Margaret, wait, and I'll go back across, and I'll get the change. And by the time I'd gone over to the mall and came back, I was, well, put it spiritually, my sanctification was wearing a little thin. And finally I pushed the money in rather disgustedly and got my tickets and headed for the door when I heard, rolled away at the cross, where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. And as I opened that doorway at the top of the stairs going down to the tram platform, there at the bottom of the stairs was an elderly black lady, obviously from the islands down this way, with a guitar and a music stand, and singing. By the time I got down, she had moved on to the King of Love, my shepherd, and his goodness never faileth. And the Lord said, John, you share something tangible with her. And I gave it, and she lit up, her life lit up, and I said, honey, I just want to tell you one thing. It's wonderful to be going to heaven with you. At the cross, where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart rolled away. And when we begin to think of this, my friend, we discover the Apostle Paul comes and he equates the wisdom of the world and the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God provided a cross that men counted as foolishness, and the wisdom, my dear friend, of men said, this is foolishness, you don't believe this. And very clearly Paul came to them and he said, for the word of the cross, for the message of the cross, to them who are perishing is foolishness, but unto us that are saved, it's the power of God. It's all right to wear a cross if you don't believe it has no power, isn't it? Many wear crosses. I don't object. But what I'm trying to say, and many worldly people wear crosses and don't believe in the power of it. But my friend, the power of the cross, and when the Bible talks about the cross, the Bible is talking about all that Jesus Christ did when he died to accomplish our eternal salvation. And so I want to take a few moments with you this evening to share with you and let you see the impact of the cross in your life and what it can do and what it can give you. The most hated place in the minds of many. Jesus is the most hated name. We discovered this morning, that it's either loved or hated. But when it's hated, it's intensely hated. Yet it's an all-powerful, changing name. Thus we took the bread elements this morning and we remembered that we were in a high plane and we were concentrating on what Jesus Christ did and how he loved us. And how God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And as we enveloped ourselves in the ocean of God's almighty love, my, we were being raised on high tide into God's heavenlies by his power. We found that it was a mighty work that God had done at the cross. You know, my dear friend, as one hymn writer has said, oh, the love that drew salvation's plan, oh, the grace that brought it down to man, oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary, mercy there was great and grace was free, pardon there was multiplied to me, there my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. You know, my dear friends, you live in a free society in the Bahamas. We live in a free society in America. And yet, my friend, there are many in the Bahamas and in America and the Western world who are bound by chains that cause them to be in captivity, to chains they have forged. In the city of Edinburgh, there was a deacon in the Presbyterian Church by the name of Deacon Brodie. Deacon Brodie was a locksmith. He devised a very, very wonderful way, a very, very wonderful scaffold, if you can say that, for hanging people. And he got credit for designing it and everything, and they could hang the criminals on Deacon Brodie's scaffold. It was supposed to be, probably it was the deluxe scaffold of its day, if you like that kind of thing. There was a series of robberies in Edinburgh and they couldn't understand what was happening. And suddenly they discovered that when Deacon Brodie had been to a house and changed the lock, he also knew where the keys were and what key, and he would go back and he committed robberies. And after several years they caught him and they took him out. Yes. And they hanged him on the scaffold in Edinburgh that he had designed. You're sitting there saying, well, I'm a young person. I'm an older person. God wouldn't put me to hell. No, but you will. You will choose either to accept God's offer of great salvation or to choose to go your own way. And right now, as a teenager, as I was, forging links on a chain that was going to handcuff me and going to pull me down and set me into a tremendous bondage, and I discovered that though I lived in a land of freedom, I wasn't free. And then I discovered one night, in the words of that great Methodist songwriter and preacher, Wesley, Charles Wesley. He broke the power of cancelled sin. He set the captive free. His blood can make the foulest clean. His blood availed to me. Now, how did he do that? Well, my friend, this is how he did, and this is what he did. That on the cross, Jesus Christ met the requirements of a holy God. God says, no one that defiles is ever going to enter into heaven. Sinners will never be in heaven in their original state. And right from the beginning of time, I have set the precedent of setting a lamb that was slain and sacrificed, and as it was sacrificed, then they had peace. Then in the year of atonement, the end of the year, for the whole year, they had atonement for their sins. The high priest went into a holy place that no one else could go. Then one day, heaven was filled with his glory. Jesus came. Jesus came. He said to a lost world, here I am, the light of the world, the way, the truth, and the life. I will take the place on the cross. And as the sinless sacrifice, God will accept my sacrifice. And if you come to the Father through me, he will accept you. Oh my, what love is this? What love is this? In a very wonderful way, when we come to him then, that's what he did. What happens? Well, my friends, we discover that the cross is telling us very clearly that the cross, he said, for the word of the cross, the preaching of the cross is a word of life through death. I was spiritually dead in sins. That's what the Bible says. Dead in trespasses and in sins. Didn't know God was alive. I didn't believe. I lived in a very religious country in those days. Not now, but in Scotland in those days. I was totally unconverted. My mother was unconverted. My father was unconverted. My sister and my brother, we were all unconverted. And you know what? I never played on a Sunday because it was Sunday. And yet we didn't know Jesus. We didn't know Jesus. And when in a rock and roll dance, he put my feet on the rock and my name on the roll. Hallelujah. My dear friend, I suddenly knew what it was all about. It was about making me alive in Christ. And he took the burden of my sin and the deadness of my sin. And the first thing I was conscious of in the new life that Jesus Christ gave me was that Jesus Christ was alive. A living Savior. He's alive. Before that, it was a name that was used in blasphemy. I heard the men in the shipyards where I worked and then in the print shop use the name Jesus Christ in blasphemy. I had never really heard it used in blessing. Suddenly, when the Spirit of God came into my heart, the only desire I had was to use it in blessing. Because the Spirit wants to exalt Christ in us. Are you a Christian that feels a little down and depressed? I read something, it came from Australia to me this past week before I left, because we were up and down, you know. We were looking forward to seeing you. Margaret's packed her case, I don't know how many times she's packed her case in the last few 10 days. She'd pack it and then empty it. USA would say, we're not flying. Then they would say, at 9 o'clock, we're flying. Then at 12 o'clock, they said, it's cancelled. Somebody sent me this email. They didn't know in Australia. They said, don't give up. Remember that Moses was once a basket case. Think it through. You know, my dear friends, I tell you from the depth of my heart, when we learn the true message of the cross, we discover that we indeed have life through His death, and it's life, said the Lord Jesus Himself. I'm not going to give you the inferior life of time. I'm going to give you eternal life, and it's going to be an abundant life. And I believe, my friend, it's abundant life in its quality. I'll tell you, once you've lived for the devil and you live for the Lord, He gives you a life of quality. My dear friend, I discovered also it's a life of quantity because it's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Yes, I look around this morning and tonight, and I don't see faces I expect to see. Where are they? If Christ be not risen from the dead, we are of all men most miserable, says the apostle. But Jesus is alive. Oh, joyful sound, O glorious hour! When Christ by His almighty power arose and left the grave, now let our tongues His triumph tell, who broke the chains of death and hell, and ever lives to save. He lives! I know He lives. What though this earthly house shall fail, the Savior's power will yet prevail and build it up anew. He lives. I know He lives. You see, it's a life of quantity. You see, dear friends, one day we're going to leave this old house behind, put it back where we got it, back in the dust. But the real you and me will move on to meet a wonderful Savior in the glory. Oh, wow. That's what's called the blessed hope, when Jesus comes again. And so we discover it's a life through His death. I am alive in Christ. A wonderful eternal life. Have you got it? It's a word of being made clean through blood. My sin was so filthy, I was destined from the day I was born to go to hell. But I thank God there was a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath the flood, lose all their guilty stains. I do believe. I will believe that Jesus died for me, that on the cross He shed His blood from sin to set me free. Sat by the bedside of a dear friend of mine, I just got to know when we moved to central Pennsylvania. He'd been a preacher for many years, Philip McShee, about 30 years ago, and had to get his legs taken off. He's been in a wheelchair all that time. He had a bright witness. He used to come to prayer meeting. I would sing of his song, I Will Praise Him. And he said, John, that's a lovely one. And we'd get the hymn book after prayer meeting, and through there we'd sing. And some of the other saints would scowl, but we would keep on singing. I Will Praise Him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Went into hospital a few months ago and discovered that he had cancer in his lower regions. It wasn't long, so I just saw him a few weeks ago, and he was so bright that afternoon. It was a Monday. It wasn't Blue Monday. And we were talking about the book of Revelation and about the Lord and the Lamb and the King coming. And quietly I just started to sing, I Will Praise Him. I Will Praise Him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. And in his weak condition, we had another friend. We got a trio going. We would never have got to the music awards, but we were heard in heaven, you know. The three of us sang through, I Will Praise Him. I Will Praise Him, praise the Lamb for sinners, give Him glory, all ye people, for His blood has cleansed each day. and we sang it through together. And you know, two of us were in a race. He was a few months older than I. And he's the winner. He's in glory before me. He's seeing a Savior who cleansed him from sin. You know, my friend, you say, what can I do with my life? How can I clean it up? You can't. But Christ. I watched some of the things in the Republican Convention in America, but one of the things that caught my eye, caught my ear more because I heard it, was one of the Baldwin brothers. The Baldwin brothers, Alex and his brothers, are some of the wildest guys that were in Hollywood. And I saw Stephen Baldwin sitting there, and his brother Alec had said if the last time at the last election that if the president, who's president now, George W., got elected, he was leaving the country. But he never kept his promise. And I saw his brother there, and I'm saying, what's going on here? And immediately the reporters went to him and said, why are you here? Who are you voting for? Are you voting for the Republicans? He said, I'm not voting for a party. He said, I'm going to vote for a man of faith. I'm going to vote for a man who's where I am spiritually. And I thought, wow, that's a strange statement from one of the Baldwin brothers. And here the next morning in Fox News they interviewed him. He said, my wife walked into our home 4 years ago. She had just got born again. And it's changed our lives. And this is what he said. I am now the man I always wanted to be, but could never be without this power. I thought, glory to the Lamb, amen? And he said, I'm not interested in the politics. I'm interested in the faith. And he said, I read my Bible every day. Wow. And I said, thank you, Lord. You are still working in power in this world. Say amen. Young man, God will give you a life like you've never known. God will cleanse your life like you've never known. The thing that upset me in the northeast corner of Scotland was the able young fisherman who came home and committed suicide because of drugs and alcohol. Teenagers, one walked out of the house in the middle of the night after having a great Sunday with his family. Monday morning they found him hanging on a tree in a park. A young man took his life. Other friends had young ones in the age group of teens and 20s and early 30s who, because of the drug habit and because of alcohol, the world makes you big. It takes a man to say no. I dare any man to make a fool of me because I won't touch these things. Thank God, I'll tell you, I look at them straight, and I come from Scotland and they say, do you not take whiskey? From Scotland? I says, no. I take my spirit from heaven. It's 100%, not 75 proof. Amen. And when a drunken fool it flows out of my innermost part, said Jesus, like rivers of living water. It's the power of God's spirit flowing through it. God will take your young life and do that. Not only will he give you, my friend, a new life, he'll give you a clean life. And dear friends, whatever you have done through simple faith, he will forgive you. He will forgive you. Oh, that is a lovely thing, isn't it? You know what he says? He says, I've taken your sins and iniquities, and you know where I put them? I put them in the deepest part of the sea. You know, there was a wee early Methodist away down in Cornwall, when Cornwall, in the southwest of England there, were having a revival. That wee fellow got saved. His name was Billy Bray. He was incorrigible. He got so excited about Jesus, they couldn't keep him quiet. And they said, Billy, if you don't, will you just be quiet about it? He says, if you put me in a bottle, I'll shout hallelujah through the bunghole. So he went up to see the Methodist minister, who in his town was a bit of a deadbeat. No, Billy, who are you? I'm Billy Bray, the son of a king. Went down the mine after getting saved, and his wife said, I bet you they laughed at you. They said, they thought I was a madman, but they really meant to say I was a glad man. The old Methodist minister said to him, sit in my library until I'm free and I'll talk. And they thought, there's nothing in there that will keep old Billy happy. And they gave him an old dry book about the sea. I don't know if you get any dry books about the sea, but this was a dry one. That'll shut him up. And he went through the house. He hadn't gone long before he heard, praise the Lord! Hallelujah! Praise the Lord! And the minister went through. He said, what happened? What did you... He said, see this book you gave me? It says here, they don't know the depth of the deepest part of the sea. And God has put my sins and my iniquities there. Hallelujah! Praise the Lord. You know, they know the depths of the sea now. But let me just tell you, as I'm floating, where God put the rest of the sin, he said, I'll put it behind my back. Eh? Have you seen your back lately? I don't think you've ever seen it, have you? But you have a big long mirror there. And the God says, what a wonderful illustration, eh? God says, I'm going to take all your sins. I'm going to take all the wrong things you've done. When you come to me and you get new life from my son who died on the cross to give it to you, when I make you clean, when I bring you into my family, when I just touch you with my power, I will forgive you when you come in simple faith. And when I forgive you, you know what? When I forgive you, I'm going to put all your sins behind my back and your iniquities. And not only will I remember them no more, but I won't see them anymore. Amen. And my friend, when God sees a saved sinner, he sees you through Jesus. Isn't that lovely? And all he sees is someone who's been saved by the grace of God and forgiven by the power of God and cleansed by the blood of Christ. And what have I to do? I've got to come and just receive Christ. Simply. Ah, the world will say foolishness. I'm just going to close in a moment or two here. The world will say foolishness. Your friends down at the cafe will say, what? What's got into you? No, it's who came into you. I remember when I got saved, I learned a little hymn, and it went this way. I found a friend who was such a friend, who loved me ere I knew him. He bound me with the cords of love, and thus he drew me to him. Jesus draws us to it. It becomes our dearest and our closest friend. And the other four fellas, they left me. But I got the best bargain. I got Jesus. Amen. I'll tell you, he changes your life. And when you confess your sin, Lord, I've sinned. And you believe that Jesus died on the cross. If you were the only sinner in the world, he died for you. And you say, Lord Jesus, come into my life and forgive me and cleanse me. When you do that, and repent and turn from your sin, he will forgive and cleanse you and make you a new person. Hey, you just may look at me tonight and say, you're not a very good advert for Jesus, man. You should have seen me when the devil had me. At least now I'm a blessed mess. Amen. Thank God for that. Before I was just a mess. I tell you, when the Lord lifts you up, my, He does a good job. And He spruces you up and He cleans you up. Cleans up your language. Cleans up your life. Cleans up your appetite. Cleans up every area of your life. And all I had to do was say, Lord, do you want this piece of old junk? And He said, I died to save it. If you give it to me, I'll make it new. And He kept His promise. And heaven came down. And glory filled my soul. What a Savior. Amen. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus, our Lord. What about you tonight? Will you come in and trust the Lord in a very real way? Will you be prepared to get saved and go down and see your friends and say, look guys, it's all different now. I've got Jesus. I'm going to be a different fellow in the island. Oh, they'll watch you. They'll watch you. But I'm going to tell you what, you'll come up to the cross alone tonight thinking that you're not going to have a friend in this world. And I'll tell you, after you've been to that cross, you'll discover you have more friends than you ever had in your life. You've got brothers and sisters and loved ones who put their arm around you and say, you've made the greatest thing you've ever done. Oh, happy day that fixed your choice in Thee, my Savior and my God. Well, may this glowing heart rejoice and tell its rapture all abroad. Oh, happy day. I never hear the drunkard singing about the happy day, do you? Never see the guy who's looking for money to buy drugs singing, oh, happy day. Oh, sad day. But I see the man who come to Christ saying, oh, happy day. I've heard people be so low that when I've visited with them or talked to them about the Savior, they've said to me, I wish I'd never been born. I've never heard a man say, I wish I'd never been born again. Amen? In fact, I'm higher now, Mark, than I've ever been before. Amen? We're higher now than we've ever been before. Will you trust Him tonight? Let's just bow quietly. As we close, we just let the Lord speak to your heart in a very real way. Father, I pray that some young man, some young woman, some dear one here tonight, You're a sovereign God. I believe, Father, that You can draw by Your power and give conviction of sin and the knowledge of Christ and the salvation. Oh Lord, I pray that someone will be saved tonight. And oh God, I pray that some saint will be sanctified tonight by the power of the living God. And discover that this is not just a fleeting fire insurance that gets us into heaven, but Lord, it's a powerful life to live under the duress and direction of the Holy Spirit of God. Father, speak to every heart now. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take time just to sing a very short thing, a hymn. I'm going to ask our brother, it's in your course book. Can we sing 50? It's just such a lovely one. Number 50 it is. 51, He touched me. Give me just a moment to say one more thing. I've been very burdened about people going to hell. And I put together a little thing that you can be used of God. And in the first part it says, well, we need to do it. In the middle bit it tells you how to do it, the verses to use, and some follow-up verses. But this is the best bit. My 10 most wanted. And you can put 10 names in there and pray for them every day. Now there should be one for everyone. If I haven't folded enough, there's more in the apartment and we'll get them. But you fellas going to sea this week, will you take one and put 10 names on it and pray for these guys, will you? Out there on the ocean? Oh, out in the ocean there, pray for them and take it and, lend the salvation. It's absolutely free, brothers. just pray for me. That's all I ask for you. And pray for other people. If you want to put Clunas the first name on the list, that's fine. I don't mind. Just but anyway, you'll get them as you door, as you leave. Let's sing this hymn and we our service will be over. Thank you for your patience. Can't sit down and sing this. Let's stand up and sing this.